stimulation for your brain. This is the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. We're going to be speaking with Tom Dutchick of ctcapitalreport.com in just a few moments. But first, a conversation with infectious disease doctor and the lead doctor in infectious diseases at Northern Westchester Hospital, Deborah Spicehandler, is here with us. Good morning, Dr. Spicehandler. Thanks for coming back on the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, doctor, I got to ask you, I got to open with this. I saw this morning that the American government is rethinking now its initial statements about how COVID-19 first originated, in that, you know, it was always the conventional wisdom that this thing had to be biologically created, even though there were doubts initially that maybe it did or didn't come from the Chinese lab. Now we are seeing that back in November of 2019, several Chinese people in the lab were hospitalized with the same kind of symptoms present in COVID-19. So, Dr. Spicehandler, you're an infectious disease doctor. When you hear this, and from your experience, you know, what do you think? Do you think it's likely, or let's put it this way, possible that COVID-19 was created in a lab and inadvertently let out?
Well, I don't know that it was created. I think it could have been in the lab. You know, labs do various studies on various viruses and bacteria. That may have been one of the ones that was in the lab that they were working on, and those individuals got infected. We still don't know. The evidence is still out there. If that's in fact what happened, I guess they will have to go back and see if they have any specimens to test for those patients to see if they in fact had COVID-19. But once it got to the index patient, as we would say, it spreads. So however it got to the first patient, which is still unclear, once it became infectious, it easily spread, as we well know, how fast COVID is spreading. So I think how it got is a little different than how it's transmitted. So the first case may have come from a lab, may have come from something else. We don't know the answer. It's like, my guess is it did come, it might have come from that lab, but we still don't have the evidence. But once the first patient or two got it, then it rapidly spread. The problem was it wasn't identified, and there was a lot of secrecy at the time and covering up how extensive COVID was in China at that time. And, you know, that all came out later, so maybe it could have been contained as SARS was a few years ago, was more contained because we had more information. We don't really know the answer, though.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when they shut down 56 million people in Wuhan, and I thought, holy cow, 56 million people can't do anything, can't walk anywhere. That sounds crazy to me, but that might have been too late already.
Exactly. We don't know. You know, I guess even in the United States, we didn't think it got here till end of February, March. But the evidence shows that there were probably cases here before that, and going back and checking. So we don't really know when it started and how it got here and who transmitted and which virus did we get. Did we get the Wuhan virus, or did we get the virus that was in Italy? Do we get both? We probably got both, and they might have been different. So we don't really know the answers. So this is going to take a long time to figure out. At some point, we may get the answers to all these questions.
We're chatting with Dr. Deborah Spicehandler, 203-333-9422, if you've got a question for our doctor. So, doctor, with 38% of the American people having been vaccinated right now, but a sense and a feeling that, particularly here in the Northeast, in New York and Connecticut, that we are doing better than the average, a lot of our masking pronouncements have been, you know, relaxed in terms of those of us who are vaccinated. How worried are you? This is what I want to know. How worried are you as an infectious disease doctor that the unvaccinated among us are going to get seriously ill in numbers that become another mini epidemic of this?
Yeah, so we all talked about herd immunity way back. And the problem is if there are variants and they're more infectious in the unvaccinated, and it can spread more rapidly. Or if a cluster of individuals get COVID, then the virus can mutate and cause a new variant. So our goal is really to get as many people vaccinated as possible. I think the vaccinated people among us, including myself, have less to worry about, because the evidence is now showing that if, in fact, you do get COVID, if you're vaccinated, which is possible, that you get a very mild case and you don't really require hospitalization, rarely require hospitalization or ICU care, which is the goal. And that's what we're attempting to make it more like a flu, more like a cold. And once we're all vaccinated, it will be like that. So I think the important thing is to get education out to the people who are unvaccinated, to tell them they need to get vaccinated and tell them why. There's a lot of myths and a lot of false information about the vaccines out there among various communities, and we need to educate them so that they will get vaccinated. And once we get the numbers up, we'll have less to worry about COVID transmission.
Are you personally confident in the J&J vaccine, Dr. Spicehandler?
I think that the J&J vaccine has certain advantages that the Pfizer and Moderna don't have. We don't have to worry about people coming back with a second shot, especially in communities that are difficult to get patients to come back and return for care. I think that's where it's most effective. I think it's a very effective vaccine. This evidence shows that no one got sick requiring ICU care, again, very ill. And so it was very effective in that situation. It's a little less effective in preventing the virus transmission, but no one really got sick on it, as the evidence shows. So it's very effective in minimizing the effects of COVID on a person. So I think any vaccine that you can get that does that is helpful in reducing the morbidity and mortality associated with COVID.
We're chatting with Dr. Deborah Spicehandler, who's the chief of infectious diseases at Northern Westchester Hospital. Right now, in your hospital, in your area of Northern Westchester, which reaches a bit from Fairfield County as well, I know quite a few people from Fairfield County who go to Northern Westchester Hospital. How are you doing with COVID?
We're doing great. We've only had at most one patient in the last several weeks in the hospital at any given time. It's really gone down quite a bit. And again, not in ICU. The patients coming in are not that ill as they were several months ago. But we have minimal patients with COVID. We're full service. We're running all our programs, our surgical programs. We're still taking precautions. We are wearing masks despite the recent announcements in the hospital. We're wearing masks and we're taking all the precautions necessary to avoid anyone getting COVID in the hospital from a patient in the hospital. We want to be extra careful and extra cautious about our ability to stop transmission of COVID. But right now we have very low census, and we are offering vaccinations now in the community. We have a vaccination site set up so that anybody who needs vaccination can get it. The wait is much shorter than in the past. I don't even know if there is a wait anymore. So all of those measures we're taking to help get rid of COVID.
Yeah. So Dr. Spicehandler, you know, it's been quite a year. I mean, in your entire career, I can venture to say you've never had anything like this, right? I mean, this is just,
it reminds me of when HIV first was diagnosed and came out, and the fears and the misinformation that was out there about HIV. It reminds me of that time. But other than that, I can't think of anything in my career that's been like this. I think when we had that SARS outbreak a few years back was a little bit like this, but not to this extent. And I think that we've all learned a lot, and we're all taking a new way and new outlook on life and on how we can use proper infection control. Hand washing, Purelling, all of those things have now become part of life, and that's a good thing. Seen very little other infections during this period in terms of transmission, like the common cold is much reduced. So we've learned some things about how we can prevent spread of infections.
I have a question for you, doctor, and this is sort of a left field question, but how important is it, or is it not at all important, for children to get colds and get over colds, to be exposed to bacteria and then heal from it. I'm just curious because it always was seemed to be conventional wisdom. And my pediatricians used to tell me that the average kid would get about 100 infections before kindergarten and that that was natural and normal part of life. And it was good in a way. I mean, you know, nobody likes to be sick for a day or two here or there, but part of growing up meant exposure to infections and having the body build up immunity. What do you think about
that
today?
I think that is still true. The more you're exposed to various infections, the more immunity you will build. But it all depends on which infections. Obviously, this is a different kind of infection, COVID. But the common cold, I have 4 grandchildren and, you know, every other week up until recently, there was a cold, and I think it was fine that they could build up immunity. And I think also that's why children have reacted less to the COVID infection, because they've got certain recent immunity to certain viruses that they've been able to fight COVID a little bit more effectively than adults. But no one knows that for a fact. But it seems like COVID has impacted children in a much lighter way, if you could say it like
lighter
that.
Way. Thank goodness. Yeah. To me, that was the miracle of this entire epidemic.
Yes.
With rare exceptions, children escaped it. With rare exceptions. That was the miracle of this. That thank God it didn't hit the children the way it hit elderly people, for example.
Right. I think the message we have to get out to everybody and your listeners is there are very little side effects of the vaccine. There have been 1 or 2 reported cases with the clots, but it's very, very rare. And yes, the first day you do have some fever and some aches and pains, but it's well worth it so that you're protected against COVID and you could go on and start to resume your life activities and start to go mask-free. And I think that's really important. And the more people get vaccinated, the more comfortable we will all be and less fear and less deaths from COVID. So I think it's really important. If anybody has questions about COVID vaccination, the hospital has, you know, ability to answer those questions. Go to cdc.gov and look up the vaccines, but really get the right information about COVID vaccine and get vaccinated if you aren't already.
Thank you very much. Dr. Deborah Spicehandler from Northern Westchester Hospital, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Thank you. Bye.
Pleasure. We'll be right back with Tom Dutchick of CT Capital Report. You're listening to The Lisa Wexler Show here on WICC 600 and WICC600.com.